All right, you can sing this out now. Come on.
Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfied my longing, but I now am saved.
I'll never forget hearing that song the first time when I was a boy, just about. Oh, I might have been 8 or 9 years old. And there was a great singer, a man named Flint Mills, who came to one of the Bible conferences. And, oh, he sang that at the top of his lungs. Hallelujah. And it made such an impression on me. That song has stuck with me ever since. It's a song of the prodigal, what that is, feeding on the husks around me. All right, Genesis 25. And once again, the title of this message will give the whole story away. If I tell it to you. But I'm not trying to hide the story from you, so I'm going to tell it to you. I want to make it clear. I'm not trying to hide anything. The title of this message is Abraham Gave All Unto Isaac. That explains it. Like chapter 23, it full price for a full possession. That answers it all, doesn't it? Well, Abraham gave all. Verse 5 is the text. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. And this is another picture of Christ, beautiful picture of Christ, a picture of how God does all things. All things because of Christ, in and through Christ, and for the sake of His children. And how that this whole world exists to serve His Son and also for the saving purpose, God's saving purpose in His elect. Now, verses 1 through 4, I looked and looked and studied Dr. Gill and others. And he lost me. He didn't know either who these people were or what significance they had. I'm sure they do. God wouldn't have put them there. He wouldn't have put them there if they were not without significance. Or that is, if they were that without significance. But we don't want to be bogged down and miss the message tonight. But here's one thing we need to note about all these sons. Did you notice how many sons that this Keturah, the second wife of Abraham had? A bunch of them. These were children of Abraham, in a sense. But there's only one true son, wasn't there? There's only one begotten, well-beloved son who became the heir of all things, Isaac. And he was a son according to God's power and according to God's promise. And I'm already ahead of myself. That's one of my other points. But it says, verse 5, Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. All that he had. Well, what did he have? Look back at chapter 24, verse 35. We saw this Sunday morning. What did Abraham have? Well, Abraham was rich. Verse 35, Abraham, the Lord had blessed my master greatly, Abraham's servant said. He's great. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. Abraham was very rich, and all he had went to Isaac, every bit of it.
All he had.
Therefore, Isaac was exceedingly rich, being the sole heir to Abraham's estate. Exceedingly rich. Now, maybe in reference to these sons, I don't know. God created all men. God created all, and all men and women are His by ownership, because He is the Creator. And there's a sense in which they're all His offspring. That's what Paul said in his message. Was it Mars Hill, where he said, we're all His offspring. Don't think that God's like unto these idols of silver and gold, but in Him we live and move and have our being. God is not like these other things. And we're all His offspring in a sense. In that sense, God has many sons. Yet, He has one only begotten, well-beloved son. One only begotten, well-beloved son, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that actually came from the seed of God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed that virgin and gave that miraculous birth to the Son of God, seed of God. That's a mystery, isn't it? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, the begotten, only begotten, well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ, whom He hath made heir of all things. All things He hath given into His Son's hand, and we are joint heirs with Him. But God hath given Christ all that He hath. Like Abraham, giving all he had unto Isaac. Abraham was rich. What about our God? God made all, owns all, so Christ is exceedingly rich. And the scripture says, or the song says, the unsearchable riches. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. What does God have that He gave to Christ? What is God rich in? That He gave to His Son. Power. God is rich in power, isn't He? All power. And Christ said, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Life. Christ has the power of life. He said, as the Father quickeneth whom He will, even so the Son quickeneth or maketh alive whom He will. More than a man, isn't it? Death. He hath the power of death. The scripture says He has the keys of hell and death at His side. God has all mercy, love, grace, pardon, all these riches in His hands to bestow, and He's given them all to Christ to dole out as He pleases. Joseph. Christ is Joseph, who's in charge of those storehouses of God's mercy, God's love, God's grace. He doles them out to whom He will. We got to go see Him if we want. He gives liberally. You need a little grace? You go to the one who's in charge of it. Who's that? The Son. The Son. You can't bypass the Son. Go to the Father. You got to go to the Son. He's in charge of it. He's got it all. You want a little grace? He's got a lot. He giveth more grace. Why did Abraham give all to Isaac? I've already said that he's the only rightful son. By law, God said a man shall leave his father and mother and cling unto his wife's wife. One wife. By law. So Isaac was the rightful son by law. He fulfilled the law in that sense. He was a rightful son. He was a son of promise. Abraham gave all to his son Isaac because he was God's gift, God's grace to Abraham. And he was a son of promise. He was a son of promise, the promised seed. Abraham gave everything to Isaac because he was obedient to his father. Wasn't it? When he went up Mount Moriah as a young man of anywhere from 15 to 25 years old. He did that willingly and obediently. He did not have to go, but he went willingly and obedient. He was obedient even unto death, the Son. So what I'm saying is, he was a worthy son, wasn't he? He was worthy for Abraham to give all that he had to his son. See the picture? All is given to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he's the only begotten Son. He's the woman's seed. He's God's Son. He's the Son of promise. He's the promised Messiah. He's the eternal Son. He's the obedient Son. He's obedient even unto death, the Scripture says, so God hath given him a name above every name. Why did God give all to his Son, Jesus Christ? Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. And he knows how to handle it. And as I said, this is also a picture of the believer. This story is a picture of the believer, how the believer is God's son and daughter. God's son, daughters are sons. Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs, we're heirs with Christ of everything that God has. Everyone that is in Christ is given all by God. Everything by God. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. If he gave his son, everything else is nothing. Right? So we have all in Christ. We are joint heirs. And like Brother Bell said, we don't just get a piece of the pie, we get the whole pie. This is a time when you can have your cake and eat it too. Right? It never exhausted. Never exhausted. Joint heirs of all that he had, not just part of it. And that's a mystery. Verse 6. But it says, unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, or these servant women, these maidens which Abraham had, unto the sons of these women, Abraham gave gifts. He gave gifts unto them. Now, you could rightly call these sons bastards, couldn't you? Bastard children, couldn't you? It says that Abraham gave gifts unto them. I thought this was a picture, perhaps, of all those, well, all the unbelieving people of this world. Reprobates, bastard children of their father the devil, but not children of the Most High God. Unbelievers, reprobates. God gives gifts unto them, doesn't it? Doesn't it? God is merciful. God is gracious, is he not? God causes the rain to fall on the unjust as well as he does the just. That man that never gives thanks to God for his food, God grows it for him. That man that never acknowledges God at all, he girds him, though he hasn't known him. Right? He gives gifts unto him, but look at verse 6 again. But Abraham sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived. Sent them away. Reprobate children, children of wrath, have no part or lot in the matter of salvation. And these sons were not to have any part in the inheritance and the blessings of Isaac. And neither will unbelievers. Though God blesses them in this life, and maybe more so than his own spiritual children, that's not the true blessings, is it? And reprobate children in this matter of salvation have no part or lot in this matter, and someday they will be separated from Christ, who is life. Isaac, while he yet lived, Christ, who is life itself. They will be separated. And the reason they live, I quoted it a while ago, in him they live and move and have their being. The God in whose hands their breath is, the Christ who sustains their very life, they have not glorified. And one day, he's going to remove them from his presence. That's what hell is. Hell is. absence of their being out of the presence of God Almighty. And God will say, cast them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Verses 7 through 9. 7 through 9. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 315 years. Here's an interesting note. I'm about to miss it. Abraham had sons by this Keturah after he was an old man, didn't he? Now, it said Abraham was old about 40 years before this. About 70 years. It said he was old a long time ago. He's old. When Isaac was born, he was old. And he didn't think he could have pleasure or have a child. Well, one of the writers said this, at the advent or the birth of Isaac, Abraham was, as it were, regenerated. He was regenerated. His youth was renewed like the eagles. And he had a bunch of children. Think about it. That could be the only reason. It's a spiritual type there, isn't it? Once a person knows Christ, doesn't matter how old they are, they're young. They're new. They've found life or youth. Their youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, he had several more children after Isaac. And 175 years he lived, verse 8, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man, full of years, was gathered to his people. A good old age. An old man, full of years. And Hebrews 11 says he died in faith. He died in faith. In spite of his sins, in spite of his failures, in spite of it all, he died trusting in Christ, believing his God. I want that to be said about me, don't you, John? And his sons, verse 9, his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar and Hittite, which is before Mamre. You remember that? The cave that Abraham purchased to bury his wife in. He himself was buried in that cave. It says his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. You haven't heard of Ishmael since he cast him away, have you? Well, here he shows up for Abraham's funeral. Kind of reminded me. Kind of made me think of all the pretenders of religion today who pretend to worship the Father, who are cast away. Surely Ishmael gave pretended devotion to his father Isaac, or to his father Abraham. Nancy, I bet you he despised the old man. Don't you? Cast him out. Sure he did. Isaac loved his daddy. He truly loved his father. And of the two, Isaac was the one that gave heartfelt homage to his father. And there are many pretended worshipers today. True worshipers worship in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. True sons do homage from the heart. They worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ, put no confidence in the flesh. Ishmael made a show. A show of love and respect to his daddy. Hadn't heard of him to this point. Verse 9 and 10, it says, verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. Abraham went the way of his wife. So did we saw how that's a picture of Christ who tasted death for us and went into the grave for us. Verse 11 is an interesting verse. And it's not there by just as an afterthought. It came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. God blessed his son Isaac. And we said, Isaac is a type of Christ, the blessed son, the son of promise, the seed, the promised seed. Now look at this, where Isaac dwelt. Isaac dwelt, his residence was by the well of Lahora. Isaac dwelt by this well. Arthur Peake calls him the son of the well. Quite often when you hear about Isaac, you hear about him being around this well. And we've saw before Hagar. Look back at chapter 16. Chapter 16, this is where the Lord brought Hagar to, remember? This well, it's where we first hear mention of this well. Chapter 16, verse 14. And it's where the Lord brought her to and made promises to her. Verse 14 says, the well was called Beer Lahora. Behold, it's between Kadesh and Bered. If you have a marginal reference, you see what it says, what that name means. The well of him that liveth and seeth me. The well of the living one. That's what Beer Lahora means. The well of the living one. Well, look over at chapter 24 now. Chapter 24. And right before, it's interesting that right after Isaac went up into that mountain and, as it were, was sacrificed and raised from the dead, and then shortly thereafter, a bride was furnished for him. And look at where we hear mention of, again, of Isaac. When we see Isaac again after chapter 22, look where it comes from. Chapter 24, verse 62. The mention of Isaac right after we hear him up in that mount of sacrifice. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahora. That's where he dwelt. He hanging around that well. The well. Isaac came from the well. He dwelt by the well. Look over at chapter 26. Chapter 26. Do you see the picture here? And Beer Lahora means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. It also means the well of living water. The well of living water. And that's where Isaac was. And Isaac was associated with that. And he always hung around it. He's always hanging around a well. Does anybody get it? I saw one smile. Huh? I know one son, an only son, that hung around a well. And he was the well of living water. Sat on the well, he was the water. Now look at chapter 26. Chapter 26 and verse 17. Isaac, verse 18. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. Isaac's the one that digged the well. He was in charge. He was a well man, Rick. There's your good name for that boy. Wells run in the Williams family. Huh? Isaac was the son of the well. He's always around a well. Well of water. And he digged the wells. Hung around the well. And look down at verse 19. Isaac's servants, they digged in the valley and found there a well, and here it is, of springing water. Living water. Wherever Isaac went, there was a well to be found. He provided a well of water for the people. So the Lord blessed the son of Abraham, his only son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt. His dwelling place was by the well of water. And he provided that living water for the people. And that's it. 25 minutes. I told you last Sunday, didn't I? You ought to be still refreshed. All right. Stand with me and I'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us a little touch of water from this word, the water of your word, dipped your finger. We don't have the capacity to take a very big drink. It leaks out. We're leaky vessels. And Lord, you just touch your finger and give us a little touch of water on our parched tongues, and we can taste it. And we've tasted, seeing that the Lord is gracious. And this little taste we get keeps us coming back for more. It satisfies us until the next time we come to drink from this wellspring of Him that liveth and seeth us. Thank you, Lord, for the Son of the Most High, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thou hast made the heir of all things, given all into His hands. We're in His hands. We're so thankful because we're in good hands. And we come to Him, we believe Him, trust Him for all that we are and all that we have, all our future, our very soul. We commit to Him, and we're confident that He will keep us. Lord, we pray that you bring us back this Lord's Day, bring us back to worship and drink again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.